Lord, and I pray that the words that you've given me to speak to these people will touch their hearts and touch their lives. And leave and let them leave here feeling encouraged in their Christian walk and encouraged by your great love and your faithfulness. And I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to present what you've given to me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first I want to tell you that it's kind of a surprise to me that I'm here today. I came up here last night, and when my dad got home, he was obviously very sick, and he just said, do you want to preach tomorrow? And I said, you know, I think I can do that. And I can do that today because God has done some amazing things in my life, absolutely amazing things in my life. And I have something to tell you. Thursday, God gave me a message, and I actually, while I was at work, this is going through my mind, and I'm like, ooh, no, this is good. You know? So as soon as I got home, first thing I did not eat, I didn't do anything. I opened up that computer, and I just started going away, and I'm like, ooh, God, this is good, you know. And I was so excited about it. I'm like, people need to hear this message. You know, I wanted everybody to know what God had done in my life. And so I was thinking, how can I get this message out? You know, I have to tell people what God has done. And I thought, oh, I know. I am going to email this message to everybody I know. And I'm thinking, okay, well, let's see. I don't know their email. I don't know. You know, and I'm making this little list of email addresses, and I'm going to send this message. And God's like, no, just hang on to it. Just hang on to it. I'm like, but God, people need to know. And I don't just give me a message and let it sit there. And he said, I'm not going to let it sit there. I don't do anything just to let it sit there. Trust me. And so I got a little frustrated. I was like, okay, so I'm not supposed to email this to everybody. I'm supposed to tell everybody. So I had the message. And then when I was getting ready to come up here yesterday, God never told me to bring the message. He said, take your Bible. And I said, oh, you know, everybody up there has got a Bible. I don't really need to take my Bible. What do I need? Well, all the way up here, I kept thinking, I forgot something. I'm driving, and I'm thinking, let's see, that I locked my door. You know, my bike is in the house, and you know, I'm driving along. And I'm thinking, I have forgotten something. I forgot my Bible. So one thing that God told me to bring. But I do have a Bible, and... even though I don't have the message, God never intended for me to stand here and read you a message. He wants me just to tell you, because I know the gist of the message. And so that's what I'm here today to do. I'm just going to tell you. And I don't know how long it's going to take. Nancy says, how long are you planning on preaching today? And I said, I don't know. It depends on how long God intends to talk. So as long as you're here to listen, and as long as God would like to talk, I'm going to be talking. Today I want to talk to you about faith. Faith is an amazing thing. And the way God builds our faith is even more amazing. Last month I sat down to do my finances. I hate doing finances. I absolutely hate anything having to do with money. Wait a minute, I have to stop here. God just reminded me of something I forgot to say. I'm sorry. He stopped me dead in right in the middle of my sentence. I have to tell you. This morning, when God told me just to speak, he also told me, and there's somebody here who needs to hear this, so this is why he wants me to say this. He told me this morning that there is somebody here today who is struggling with faith. And this message is for you. I don't know who you are, but I know you're here, whoever you are. And God wants me to tell you that he loves you, and he knows your struggles, and he loves you enough to maneuver a bunch of really interesting circumstances to get me here today to tell you this. So, when you hear the words I have to tell you, remember that this is God, and that he is speaking to you specifically. That's not to say that the rest of you can't benefit. You will. But I know that there is somebody here today who needs to hear this. So, with that said, I sat down last month to do my finances, and I realized that there was going to be a problem. I finished my master's degree in September, and I still had some tuition payments to make, three very large tuition payments to finish off, and I'm not going to class anymore, but I still have to pay. And, yeah, I know. And so I've been doing okay financially with the burden, and it's been a pretty heavy burden, you know, for 3 months to pay these payments, but I have to do it. And believe me, I tried every way to get, you know, to lengthen these payments out. You know, can I pay them over a year? Can I pay them over 6 months? They're like, no, you have 3 months and you better pay this money. So I was like, okay, all right. So I've been doing okay, but last month I realized that because of my final tuition payment, which was due, they said anytime in November, it's got to be paid by the 30th of November, otherwise we are going to come after you. I said, okay. So I'm doing my finances and I'm realizing that in order for me to pay my tuition when it's due and not have some serious repercussions and to pay all of my other bills to stay financially afloat, I was going to start out in December with a significant deficit. I was going to be in the hole, would not be able to pay my rent, wouldn't be able to pay any of the bills, wouldn't be able to stay in the month. And I thought, ooh, this is not good. And I thought, you know, this is really not good. And I started getting really angry. I thought, you know, I went to school for all these years, and I got this stupid degree, and I have this job that doesn't pay me enough to pay my bills. God, this is not cool. You know, I'm pitching a fit. God's like, just hush. Just hush. I'm like, okay, I'll hush. I'll hush. And then I'm writing out my check, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't even want to pay these bills because I know, you know, this is going nowhere. And one of the bills that I was paying, it's not necessarily a bill, it's a pledge to the Christian radio station that I make every month. It's a small pledge, but I really felt like I should do that. About a year ago, I felt like I should make a pledge to the Christian radio station, so I did that. And I've been pretty faithful. There are some months that my pledge has been late, but I have been consistently paying that because God laid it on my heart that I need to be faithful in that. So here I'm writing out my bills and thinking, I'm going to be in debt. And it comes to my pledge, and I write out the check, and I think, you know, I don't pay this. I could probably, you know, squeeze a little bit of financial stability out of this, and I'll have a little bit in the bank, and it'll be okay. And God said, no, you need to be faithful. You know, and he reminded me of the scripture. There's a scripture in Psalms, and I can't remember exactly where it is, but it said, Lord, who can dwell in your sanctuary? Who can live on your hill? He who keeps his oath even when it hurts. A man who does this will never be shaken. And I'm like, oh, I'm already shaken, so what does it matter? The bills in the mail, and I forgot about it. I said, okay, God, you're going to have to take care of me because I don't know what to do. I don't see a way out. I do not see where I can go. I don't have any of the financial resources. You know, I can't get a second job right now, and even if I did, I wouldn't get money in time, you know, to pay this. And God's like, remember, I've taken care of you before. And I thought, yeah, okay. Yeah. And he reminded me of something he did for me when I was in college. When I was in college, I was so irresponsible with my finances. I can't even begin to tell you how irresponsible I was. Oh, we've all been there, you know. I can tell by some of your faces, you're going, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. I'm still irresponsible with my finances, you know. But let me tell you how irresponsible I was. I had a, you know, I had a part-time job, and I went to school full-time, and I had some financial aid. So, you know, I was okay. But if I had just lived and done what I was supposed to do, I'd have been fine. But maybe I had to go out and get credit cards. You know? It was like I'm walking through the university campus one day, and they set up these booths to snare you. You know, it's just a snare for these college students because they're so cocky and they're so young, and they're thinking, yeah, you know, I got a handle on the world. They're like, ooh, get a credit card. You know, so they set up all these booths, and what do? I go through and I fill out all the applications for all these credit cards, and lo and behold, I got them all. And within a month, they were all maxed out, and then I couldn't pay the bill. So I struggled and struggled every month. I cannot tell you. I would get this knot in my gut. Every time I would go to the mailbox, I would stand there and I'd think, what is in there today? This cannot be good. And it was never good. And so one month I'm sitting there and I just get done paying all of my credit card bills. I mean, I had six of them. Six credit cards. And some of those credit cards were not just Visa or MasterCard or whatever. They were Nordstrom. Huh? Gotta look good, you know? Nordstrom, yes. Eddie Bauer, whatever, you know. Actually, one of them I actually had applied for. They went ahead at the store and let me buy a bunch of stuff on it. And then I found out later that my credit had been denied. I'm paying on a credit card that I don't even have because my credit had been denied. It was terrible. So anyway, I'm sitting there and I write out my bills, same kind of thing, you know. It's like, oh, I don't want to be in the hall. And I had like $2 left in my checking account. I had nothing. And this was 5 days before payday. I had nothing to eat. When I say I had nothing to eat, I had nothing. You open up the refrigerator, it was empty. Cabinets, empty. Nothing. I was very irresponsible. No beans, no rice, no nothing. I mean, I'm saying literally nothing. And I sat there for a minute and I thought, okay, 5 days. 5 days. 5 days. Well, God, I can fast for 5 days. The Bible says to fast anyway, you know, so maybe I'll just turn this into a fast. I can fast, and I thought, right? The intent behind fasting is different than I don't have any food, you know? I mean, the purpose behind fasting is because, well, we know, I'm not going to get into a sermon on fasting, but let's just say the purpose behind it is not because you don't have food, right? So I thought, okay, well, that's not good. I can't turn this into some sort of spiritual thing, you know, get kudos with God. So I thought, this is really nuts, and I felt so embarrassed. I thought, how can I go to God and say, God, look what I've done. I made a very big mess, and I don't know how to get out of it. And now I don't have anything to eat, and look at my life. Ooh-wee, huh, you know. And God said, just yeah. And I thought, okay, I had to humble myself and go, God, I did a bad thing. And I don't have anything to eat for 5 days. And you know what God did? He said, this is how much I love you. And every single day that week, somebody called me up out of the blue and said, why don't you come over for dinner tonight? Every single day that week, somebody invited me over for dinner. And I'm just getting goosebumps thinking about it now. And I was just like, and not only that, they sent me home with leftovers. You know? It was like, right on, you know? And I was just so excited. I was just like, woohoo! You know, I'm having like, you know, roast chicken and potatoes for breakfast. And it was great. It was the best food I ever had. I was just like, woohoo, praise God, amen, hallelujah. That was just, it was so amazing because God fed me with bread that would last. He didn't just send me a check in the mail. I'm not responsible with money anyway, so why would he do that? He showed me his love in an incredible way, and he used people to do it. He used other people to do it, to minister to me, to minister to my need, to build up my faith. And it was just, it was amazing because, you know, a lot of times we think, I can't go to God because I put myself in this mess. You know, there's this real popular phrase out there, especially in the business world, which is lack of planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. I've used that with people before. That's not mercy. That is not mercy. That says you are responsible for your actions. You did this. You put yourself out of it. God has never said that. If God brings something into your life and you don't learn from it, that's different. But I learned from it. And God was beautifully merciful and kind and faithful to me. He took care of me. So I was sitting there last month thinking about this and I'm thinking, okay, it was not a coincidence. It is not a coincidence that these people invited me up to it. None of them knew. That's another thing. None of them knew that I had nothing to eat. I mean, these people acted, God moved on these people and they acted. They were obedient. And they probably had no idea, you know. And later, I did end up telling some of them, you know, what you did for me. You know, God used you in a very special way. But I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking, okay, God's taken care of me before. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to believe. You know, God's word is full of promises, you know, ask, and you shall receive. You know, don't worry about what you're going to be, you know, what you're going to have, what you're going to wear. Don't worry about these things. I've got it covered. So, I let it go. And I let it go. I didn't think about it. I just let it go. It was not in my mind anymore. No more finances. I thought, okay, got a month, God. You do your thing. And it went along my daily business. Well, about a week later, I was cleaning off my dining room table, and I have this really bad habit. It's terrible. I come into the house, and I unload everything on the table, and it just stays there. And I come in, and it's the mail on the table, and I come home with the briefcase on the table. And so about once a week or once every other week, probably more like once every 2 weeks, I get around to cleaning the table off. So I'm cleaning the table off, and I'm like, ooh, my bills. I better open them and look and see how bad it is. So I open up my bills and, you know, the usual stuff, and I open up my power bill. Now, I live in Phoenix. I live in a third-floor apartment, and my power bill is always really high. I don't know, probably close to $100, which is a lot for a little apartment. And that's just the way it is. And so I'm thinking, okay, you know, great. I don't know how I'm going to pay this, but oh well. So I open it up, and it's a balance or amount due, zero. And I'm like, okay, this can't be right. Because I've been obviously living here, and I've been using power, and so this can't be right. This is a mistake. So I unfold it further, and I read all the details on it. Well, when I moved into that apartment a year and a half ago, I paid a $120 deposit to have the power turned on, because I've never used FRC before, you know, so they're like, we don't trust you. And so they made me pay a deposit, and for some reason, I don't know why, they never told me they were going to do this, but they just all of a sudden decided they were going to apply my deposit to my monthly bills. And my monthly bills, because the, you know, summer is, it's not so hot down there anymore, they've gotten less. So I did a little calculation and discovered that because of this, they're applying the deposit to my bill. I won't have to pay another power bill until February. I was like, "Ooh, hey, this is really cool." God said, I was like, all right, that's one, God, but that's still not enough, you know? I was like, you know, God's like, yeah, you know, I'm bad, I know, yeah. I'm just like, okay, God, I'll give you that much. I am so thankful. Thank you. And I did. I praised him right there. I was like, thank you, God. I started laughing. I was like, this is so cool, but it's still not enough. And he's like, hey, got it covered. I was like, okay, all right, and I let it go. Thursday was 30th of November, and I had some bills to pay. Obviously, I had to pay my tuition. And I went to work, and I had gotten a really strange notice in the mail from my student loan provider. My undergraduate student loans, I have to make monthly payments on those. And I got a really strange notice. I did not understand what in the world they were trying to tell me. I thought these people are nuts. I have to call. So I called them, and I said, I don't understand this notice that you gave me. It says I don't have to make a payment in December. And they said, well, yeah, we kind of made a mistake. We kind of made a mistake on your account, and because of the time involved in fixing the mistake, we're giving you a grace period. You don't have to make a payment in December. I was like, you're kidding, right? She's like, no, really, this you don't. And I said, what's your name? I wrote her name down. She's like, do you want my social security number too? I said, yeah, I'll take that. But I sat there, I hung up the phone, and I sat there and I thought, this is amazing. There is no way I would ever have seen this because I didn't have to pay a power bill. And because I didn't have to pay my student loan payment, which is pretty significant, I started out this month with more than enough in the bank, enough to pay all of my bills for the month and go to the grocery store. Now it's like, woo! it just, and I sat there and I thought, God, you are so incredibly faithful and so wonderful. You know? I mean, what do you say? What do you say to a God like that? I mean, it's just like, I have nothing to say. I've got everything to say. I don't know. I just sat there and I'm sitting there at work and I'm just sitting there at my desk shaking my head going, this is too incredible. I didn't see a way. And then God didn't send bolts of lightning and, you know, all this grandiose thing and I didn't win the lottery. He just, whatever circumstances, to take care of me. You know? He just, and it's just, that's the way God works. You know, we get so focused on wanting to see this miraculous power. You know, God is interested in the day-to-day. Okay? That's what the Christian walk is. It's one step at a time, day to day to day. He took me to the 11th hour. I paid my tuition on the phone. You can do it with a debit card. I don't have a credit card anymore. No more credit cards, but I can do it with a debit card. That takes it right out of my account, so I know where that money is. But I called him and I paid my tuition on the phone at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the 30th. The 11th hour, but it's done. It's done. God took care of it. And going back to what I think he said, we get so focused on wanting to see this grandiose power. We want to know that God is powerful, that he's out there, and he's just waiting for us to say, hey, God, you know? And that's not the way it works. And that is a real, how should I say that? I think it's a consistent lie, but it's a very prevalent lie. That's what the Jewish people had a problem with. They missed Christ. They missed Messiah. They completely missed him because that's what they were looking for. They were looking for this great ruler who was going to come down and, you know, I can just see it. I can see it in my mind, you know. I can see, you know, just legions of warriors on these white, you know, big white snorting horses and all that, you know, and these big swords and flashing gold and, you know, hair flying in the wind, you know. I can see this, you know, coming in to destroy the Romans, you know, beat those people there. That's what they were looking for. And what did they get? They got Jesus, who was walking every day in the streets with people, normal, everyday people who had broken lives, broken homes, broken hearts. People who were socially degraded, people who were financially in distress. You know, people who were irresponsible, crazy. I mean, demon-possessed, sick. And those are the people that Jesus walked with. And when he walked with them, he showed them how to walk. And that's what faith is. Faith is about trusting God in the small things. A definition of faith, let me read to you. I am using the Bible now. Hebrews. I like this definition of faith. I think some people, you know, we've done a pretty good job. I'd say my dad's done a pretty good job here of explaining faith. He's got a real good definition. And I think most of you here are probably really clear on what faith is, but I'm going to go through it again. Hebrews chapter 11, which is a wonderful chapter on faith. And you know what? I know my Bible, I do. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Well, when you first look at that, you think, okay, well, that kind of sounds like believing in the absurd. Believing anything that comes along, which is what Christians are really accused of by world standards, because they don't understand what faith is. Faith is really an outworking of the will of God, because the first thing you have to do in faith is you have to seek the will of God. What is the will of God? What is it that he wants? Then you act on it. I'm going to take you to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse let's start with verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Okay, this is just, I'm just using this as an example. This is the word of God. This is, Jesus spoke these words, okay? I'm just using this as an example. There are many other places in Scripture where it says what God promises. I'm just using this, though. So, faith is saying, okay, God said this. First, you have to establish that God is truth. Do you believe that God is truth? The Bible says that God is truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. God is truth. So what he says is true. You can't have somebody who is truth and speaks a lie. Paul said, God cannot lie. So you have to believe that if God says it, that settles it, okay? It'll happen. Now, faith is saying, okay, I believe this. I know this is the will of God. The will of God is to take care of his children, is to provide for you. He said, ask, and it will be given. You know, if your son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Okay, he's making a comparison. He's saying, I'm not going to give you something awful. Okay, trust me. Faith is saying, God said this. This is his will, is to provide for me. Not that I should suffer. Therefore, I'm going to... Now, this is the action is the hard part for us, because we want to act. Action is saying, okay, I'm going to pay my bill and let him take care of this. Okay? I could have withheld my bills. I could have withheld my pledge from the radio station. I could have borrowed money from my parents. They actually offered to lend me money and I didn't take it. I could have borrowed money from them. I could have taken out a loan. I could have gone to all my friends and, okay, you know, God's going to take care of me, so I'm going to go ask so-and-so for money and they'll give it to me. I'm going to go to Lonnie and I'm going to get, you know, $50 from Lonnie because God said he would take care of me, so I know Lonnie will give me the money. That's not faith. That's not faith, because that's saying, okay, I'm going to calculate a way. I'm going to see a way that I can make this happen. Well, is that relying on God? No. That means I'm going to go and find a way, and I'm going to go over here to Lonnie, and then when Lonnie says, sorry, I have a family to feed, and I don't have $50 to give you, then I go, ugh, you know, God, you are not faithful, your word is not true, and I don't, you know, we need our faith. Yeah. No, faith is trusting in God to see what we cannot see. God sees a way where we see none. And that's, you know, faith is not blind either. People say, oh, blind faith. There's no such thing as blind faith. All it is, all it means is that we have a limitation in our scope of vision, okay? We're humans. We're limited by what we can see every day. We can't see the big picture. I don't know what's going on in China right now. Do you? I mean, I have no clue. All I can see is this here today, and this scope. That's a very small piece of the world. It's a very small piece of reality. I can't see all the way. How would I ever have known that some guy back there in, you know, South Carolina was messing around on the computer one day and screwed up my account, and so because he screwed it up and they had to fix it, I would never have known that. I can't see that. Now, we have a limited scope of vision, but God can see all things. You have to acknowledge that God is bigger than you. Okay? He is. He is. God is a very big God. You know, if he created this universe, how much bigger must he be? If God created the universe, people, how much bigger must he be? And this universe is vast. I mean, one of my hobbies is studying cosmology and studying, you know, all the things that they study out there in the universe. And it is huge. This place is enormous. We can never map it out. We're too little. We're tiny. We're tiny. And you know, our universe is huge, and then our galaxy is, you know, smaller than that, and then our world is like this tiny little thing out here on the very edge of this galaxy. And I'm thinking, God is even bigger than that. Okay? God is big. He can see a way where there is none. And not only that, but he can make a way where there is none. We can try to manipulate circumstances, but that's striving. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. Where is that verse? Where is that verse? It is, I know I have it. I want to read it. I do have it. Matthew 11:28. Okay, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what it means to rest? It means to say, okay, God, I know. You're going to take care of me. Your word says you're going to take care of me. You're going to take care of me. I believe you. You're a big God. You can see more than I can. You have the power to maneuver circumstances beyond my imagination. Well, I'm going to rest in that. So often I hear people say the Christian life is so hard. It's so hard. Yeah, there are some parts of it that are hard. There are some definite, and I'm done there. But it was never meant to be a daily grinding struggle, okay? All you do is you get this concept of faith down, and you just trust in the Lord, you know? Just kind of get that going. And then you just rest. It's not this, every day, you know, I have to do this, or I have to do that, or I have to see a way, or I have to maneuver this. How am I going to get so-and-so to do this, or how am I going to get... No, it's not your job. You're little, God is big. Okay? Little, big. My nephew even knows that concept. Okay? He's 3. He knows the difference between little and big. Okay? Let's remember, we are little, and we have a limited scope of vision, that God is big. He can see all things. Okay. Now. Where am I going now? Where am I going now? Oh, something else. This is another thing. Right along with this. You know how I know that resting in the Lord by having faith is the right thing to do? Because the Bible says so. Because the Bible said, here, let me, Matthew 17:20. Let's see. Okay. The disciples are questioning Jesus about why they couldn't perform a certain miracle. And Jesus says, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Well, first of all, because God is powerful and God can do anything, God can move a mountain. That's no, you know, no big deal. But tiny amount of faith does wonders, because God does not want you to strive and work for his love and care. That is not what God's intention is. God's intention is to love you and to provide for you. And he'll take the smallest step. That's what a small little mustard seed is. concept, as I felt like this, I thought, no, God, this is the only thing. But I am going to hold on to this one time. Tiny little step. But I'm going to hold on to it. God rewards that. He's like, yeah, you know, finally, you're giving me, you know, God will take, it's like a pinhole. It's like a, have you ever seen, you know, a dam, a huge dam, you know, think of it this way. And a little leak forms in the dam. You know, it's just this tiny little thing, and pretty soon it just opens up after time. But that's the way God is with us. We just give him just a little bit to work with. He opens that whole thing up, and floods it come down. And that's what, building faith, that's what it's all about. The more you trust, and the more you allow God to move in your life, and to prove himself, to prove his love to you. That's what it is. I mean, the result of faith is the proof of God's truth, his power, his love, his mercy, his grace, all of those things. And that's all righteousness is, really. That's another concept that I think we have a hard time with sometimes. We think righteousness, you know, that very word just kind of like, oof, righteous. At least I feel that way. I don't know if you ever have. I think probably most people do. It's like you hear righteousness and you think, I'm not worthy, you know? But righteousness is simply living by faith. Paul said the righteous will live by faith. But with Abraham, commended for living by faith. Read Hebrews chapter 11. The whole thing goes through faith. It talks about these righteous people. And what were they doing? They were living by faith. And that's all righteousness is. It's constantly continuing living by faith. Day to day after day. And it says, without faith, you cannot please God. Paul says it. You know, I'm quoting scriptures, but I'm not giving you the actual references. I remember them, but I can't actually remember the references. So, but I have them written down at home, so if any of you really want the references for this, I can give it to you. But now where was I going? The references are live by faith. I can't remember. I shouldn't have said that little side comment. But that doesn't mean that God won't test your faith either. And that's when things get really tough. And I can tell you from personal experience that I know. Not with my finances. I mean, yeah, there. But the more you trust God and the more you rely on him to take care of you, and the more you see him show you what he can do, less worry about a certain area in your life. You get victory over certain areas in your life. It's like my finances, okay, I'm going to trust God. Bigger things will come along someday. I know that. I know that someday it's going to be not a matter of a couple hundred dollars. It's going to be a matter of thousands of dollars. And, you know, that'll be another thing. But there are certain areas of my life where God has tested and tested and tested my faith. And I have struggled and struggled because I have a tendency, I'll say, okay, God, you know, look right here. This is how you establish faith. You look here. And then things start to happen, you know. Circumstances start to change. And you think, ooh, things are unraveling here. This is good. So you go, boom. And you start looking. And then it stops. And you're like, wait a minute, you said, and it's like, where are you looking? Where are you looking? So I readjust myself, and I'm like, ah, okay, gotcha. I know where you're going with this now. Okay. So then things start to move, and again, boom, I'm there. You know, I have this attention deficit disorder thing, you know, I swear. It's like, I can be so focused on God, and as soon as he starts to move over here, I'm like, ooh, what are you doing, God? You know, I want to see it all. I want to take it all in. And we're all like that. Don't lose faith because you're looking at the circumstances this way. Because this does not make sense. It does not make sense. I have a very analytical mind, and I have a tendency to analyze everything to death, okay? I look at everything that's happening. He said, she said, he did, she did. They're all doing this. And I've got this little thing plotted out in my mind of what everybody's doing. I can see where God could do this and this and this and this. Oh, I'm never right. I am never right. When I get so focused on analyzing the circumstances and looking at what everybody's doing and what they're not doing and what they're saying, who am I looking at? None of it makes sense. I have no idea. God is bigger. I am small. Okay? God is big. I'm small. I have to remind myself of this. God reminds me of this constantly. I mean, one night I was having such a problem with this. He took me outside and said, look. And I looked and there's and he said, I'm big. These are little, and they're even bigger than you. And I'm like, okay, that's the point. But don't lose your faith because you're looking at the circumstances and trying to figure out what God's doing and what's going on and all that kind of whatever. There are things that are going to come at you from this direction that make no sense whatsoever, that seem to be absolutely 100% contrary to what God told you. What are you going to believe? It is very, very hard to look at a situation like that and go, I'm not going to believe this. This means nothing. Especially when it's something that is very, very, very dear to your heart. Very dear to your heart. And I'm going through that right now. But I can tell you why. I'm not going to let go of my faith in God, because I believe that he has the power to do what he said he's going to do. And I'm going to stand on that. But I have gone back and forth and back and forth. Every time God brings me back around, he says, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Just remember, look at God. Always look at God. Because this world is not the same. And the enemy is going to try to throw stuff at you. And he knows what you need to hear. So forget what God said. So he's going to throw it at you. He's going to say, oh, yeah, well, what about this? Huh? Huh? What does God's word, you know, mean when you see this or that? I mean, he's constantly throwing stuff at you. Block it out. Block it out. I had to do that this Friday. I have a friend that I have been praying for probably about a year and a half for his salvation. God really laid the burden on my heart. And there are some times I just weep in prayer for this man's salvation. And God keeps telling me, keep believing in me. And he showed me all these scriptures in here, you know, ask, and you'll receive. You know, it's not my will that anyone should perish. I mean, I know all those scriptures, blah, blah, blah. I have a notebook at home, a little notebook. It's got all of these scriptures written down again and again and again. I mean, it's so ridiculous. You can go through there and see how many times God had to tell me the same thing. I'm always amazed because I'll go through and it's like whenever God tells me something, I write it down, you know. And then about a month later, I'm going to flip them through the book, you know, and I'm looking at it chronologically. The next month, same thing. And I'm like, oh, we've been here before, you know. But God keeps bringing me back around. But I've been praying for this guy for a long time, and it's just like, I want to see him know the Lord so bad. It just means so much to me. I can't tell you the desire in my heart for this. It just, and so it's been a struggle because he's not that exactly, for all outward appearances, does not look like this guy will ever. I mean, I've had Christian friends come and give up on this. Give up on this. This is just ridiculous. Give up on this. And I would think, yeah, you know, you're right. You're right. This is hopeless. And God would say, no. No, 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 no. Stop looking here and start looking here. Well, so I sent this guy an email last week sometime. Just, hey, how's it going? That's it. You know, I have to preface this with something. Oh, okay, I sent in the email. I was like, hey, how's it going? And I like, oh, I never heard anything back. And then I was at work, I don't know, sometime this week, and the spirit came over me. It happens sometimes at work, and then I run in the bathroom, and I was like, you know, or I'll close my office door. It's like, you never know what's going to happen when the spirit of God comes over. You're not going to sit there bawling at my desk, you know. And the boss comes in and is like, oh, my gosh, she has some serious problems. But anyway, the spirit of God came over me so strong, and I was like, oh. I go in the bathroom, and I lock the door, and I'm like, what? You know, what, God? And he's like, he's going to know me. He's going to know me. He's ready to hear. He's ready to hear. And I was like, whoa, you know, you're kidding. You're serious, God, right? He's like, I'm God. I don't kid. You know, if I tell you, he is ready to hear the word. He's ready to hear the word. Be prepared to tell me. And I was like, you know, and I'm thinking about all these ways that I could tell this guy, you know, to tell him about the Lord. Didn't happen that way. Did not happen the way I ever thought it would happen. What happened was this. I went home that night, and there was an email from him, a very long email, where he outlined all of the nasty, dirty, rotten things he's been up to lately. And I can tell you, I'm just going, you know, my gut is just churning. He's like, well, I did this, and it was fun, you know? Just really just kind of throw it in my face, like, you know, I like to do that. I mean, I'm not going to go into a list of the things he's been up to, but and it was very intentional, you know? He's probably just telling me, well, I did this, and, you know? That was the whole gist of it. And I got to read an email and said, God, I can't do this. He's hopeless. He's never going to marry you. He is so entrenched in his lifestyle, and he loves what he's doing. How can you tell me he's ready to share if he's sitting here telling me all the things that he's doing and how much he enjoys it? I struggled with that all night. I couldn't rest. My gut was just so, I was so burdened. I just had this spiritual burden on me. I didn't know. How do you respond to something like that? I mean, what was I supposed to say? Oh, you've been naughty. Shame on you. I mean, what do you say? I had no idea how to respond to him. And so I slept on it. And God woke me up early the next morning. This was yesterday morning. He woke me up early. And he said, this is you need to stop with me again. I sit down over this. Look this way. And let me tell you. I will do what I said I'm going to do. It's not going to be the way you think it's going to happen. You got to trust me. I see a way. And I see his heart. Tell him. He's not satisfied with his life. He needs to be sore in your face. Yeah, well, yeah. Now, God showed me his heart. He showed me how to say what needs to be said. So I did. And I told him about God. I told him about the love of God and what God wants to do. And the talents and the gifts that God has given him that God wants to use. I don't know. He may have sent me an email back to some of his friends. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because I know now. I know now that I am not going to look this way. I'm going to try not to look this way. And I'm going to keep my focus on God. But you know, I've had it so basic because he keeps bringing me back around. So he's kind of just going to throw you out there and say, do this. And I'm going to say, I'm sure until you do it, you know. No. He says, okay, do this. And if you struggle, he's like, okay. He just nudges you along and he helps you out. Guess how many times I wanted to give up on this guy. I did not want to have faith in this. I just didn't want to believe. It's like, find God, send somebody else. Send somebody else to tell him because I can't. But no. And he just gently died. And that's the point of all this today. I know I've gone on and on. But I just have to tell you that God is so amazing. He's so faithful and he's so loving. All you have to do is give him a little bit. Just give him a little bit. And he'll take it in your heart. Just give him a little bit and move that in your heart. It works. I'm telling you, it works. The times in my life where I am struggling and I'm striving and I'm angry and I'm frustrated and I'm depressed, when I struggle like this. And I know I'm looking in the wrong direction, I'm not having faith, I'm trying to maneuver circumstances, I'm trying to manipulate things. God can be with me. Best. My job, my God, is little, I'm big. I know we all do it. It's really amazing. But I just want you to be encouraged today and know there have been some significant victories in your life. And I just want you to know there can be victories in your life too. And it's not because I'm great and I'm going to say, I'm not. I'm just a little ordinary old person just like the rest of us. And God just happens to love me, and he doesn't want to give up on me. He's got some plans. But he uses my life to speak to you, so that's good. That's a good thing. But that's another thing I want you all to remember, too. When you're going through circumstances, it never happens just for one reason. Do you know what I'm saying? How would I ever have known that because I didn't have anything to eat then, that it would minister to me now and to other people? I mean, we all never know how God is going to use circumstances in our lives. You know, our testimony is powerful things. And you don't know that 10 years down the road, somebody might not come along who wants to desperately to believe in God but can't, and you have circumstances where you can explain to them how God impacted your life and might change their life forever. So when you're going through your circumstances, you know, there's a lot of stuff to remember, you know, to keep in your mind. But Heavenly God will remind you of it. You know, let him remind you of it. I'm doing this for a reason. Don't get so focused on this. Look at the big picture. It's not just you in this world. And if any of you want like a, you know, the written version of this on my computer at home, can email me. I'll email it to you. I still have that method. It's a little bit different. God changed it. It's a little bit different. But if any of you want to hear that, I'll email it to you or send it to you or whatever. But that's what he had to say to you today. And be encouraged. Be encouraged. Don't lose your faith because you're looking in the wrong direction. You know, when you start to feel like you're out there on your own and you're out, just got thrown out to the dogs, it's like, okay, stop. It's hard to make up. That's the way God guides. He guides you one step at a time, and in order to see the next step, you've got to be with him right there. You know, you can't walk on him. You know, what are you going to run into anything? So, be encouraged. He's good and he's faithful, and he will sustain you. He will sustain you. Okay, thanks.
Goodbye. Well, kids, I hope you have fun in Veggie Town, where... See you later, Bob. I don't believe it. Goodbye, kids. Larry, wait! Hello, kids, and welcome back to Veggie Town.
I'm Bob the Tomato.
And I'm Larry the Cucumber.
Larry, I'm guessing that you're dressed up like that because you have a new job.
That's right, Bob. I'm working in construction. I have a new job with Arthur Artichoke's Architectural Associates. Try saying that 3 times fast.
Well, good for you, Larry.
And on my job, I'm learning to use all the lessons we've been studying in VBS about how we can please God in any job we do, as long as we do what the Bible tells us.
Well, that's great, Larry. Why don't you tell the kids about your new job?
Love to, Bob. Well, kids, I wear this tool belt so my tools will always be handy.
And the hard hat?
Hard hat?
That thing on your head.
This isn't a hard hat, Bob. It's a batter's helmet.
What?
In case I want to go hit some baseballs after work, silly.
Oh, of course.
Well, gotta go to work. Have a great day in Veggie Town, kids.
What was I thinking?